your Bible this morning, and I want you to start at the back this morning. Matthew 22, then we're going to go to 11, then we're going to go to 5. Matthew 5, okay? So we'll find that this morning. Now, we're back into our series about being emotionally healthy in our spiritual lives. And so this morning, it's a two-part sermon again. So you'll hear part of it this week and the finish up next week. And it's called Learning to Love Well, Emotional Maturity. You're going to learn a lot about yourself probably this morning, of who you are. And so I'm going to challenge you in that area this morning. But our image, our person that we're going to look at is Jesus Christ and how he lived and he loved well in the midst of all the things he was involved in. And so that's where our message is going today. So let's begin at chapter 22, verse, and I'm going to back up just a few, verse 34. It's the greatest commandment. Now, look what was going on with Jesus as well. And those that were against him. And Jesus found himself in some pretty tough situations, as you know. But yet, he loved well. And I want you to learn to do that same thing in our lives. So listen to the word of the Lord this morning. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied with these words, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All right, let's go back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Now, we know that he was always at odds with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and other groups as well, the religious leaders of its day. And so this is what Jesus also spoke these words. This is how he perceived that people felt about him. Verse 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds, meaning the way that Jesus lived his life, even though they accused him of many things that he's doing wrong in the way that he lived. And now go to chapter 5. And if you know chapter 5 in the book of Matthew is the Beatitudes, and I'm going to read just one today. In the midst of loving people well and the world that we live in today, we are called to live like this. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And so I want you to rest in that verse. That verse we're going to dig into deeper next week, Sunday. We're going to really see what that means to us and what God calls us to do and how to live our lives this morning. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, having read your scripture, your word of truth, Lord, may you bring that word to life. Lord, I pray and I ask that you fill me with your spirit, that these words are your words and nobody else's. And Lord, may these words resonate with those that have gathered here today in your church and those that are maybe online at home watching us. May your spirit fill them to open their hearts, minds, and souls to hear your teaching, to hear your word. And Jesus, I pray, amen. I have a little letter for you this morning. I just want you to listen to this morning. This is about a young couple that broke up. It said, Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. And congratulations on winning the state lottery. Yeah, isn't that something? So what I want you to think about this morning is, in your life, what does genuine love look like as you live life? How do you love people well in the midst of huge differences, things that separate us? You know, that's a funny story that I told you this morning. But in today's world, it seems you have to take a side today of where do you stand on a wide range of things that I could share with you this morning. And I just have a few that I'm going to bring to your attention this morning. Now, you know that we live in a world today that there is huge division between the left and the right, between Democrat and Republican, between Christian and non-Christian, those types of things. Maybe you're a Ford lover or a Chevy lover. Does Dodge make a pickup? No, I'm just kidding you this morning. I happen to own all three of those. But here's the point. There's division everywhere that we live in today in our world. And so how do we navigate that, and how do we love well in the midst of those things? I mean, you get it. You live it just right with me. And so there seems to be no middle ground anymore. And so I'm going to give you some middle ground today of where you stand and how to live life. And I think that the problem is in our society today, we are no longer emotionally mature when it comes to dealing with differences and loving each other well. We are quick to throw each other under the bus in the way that we live life. I mean, within our families, neighbors, those that we disagree with, whatever it might be. And I think that we have a lot of things that we could learn and gain from this message this morning, but more specifically, the Word of God. And so part of growing into a mature believer is learning to apply the truth. And I want you to understand when I preach this morning that this is girded by the truth of God's Word. All right, that's the underlying foundation. So don't read into things that I'm trying to tell you, like, well, where does Rob stand on this? That's not what I'm getting at this morning. I'm speaking that you already, and I assume that we stand on the truth of God's Word and what we believe. That's already there, established. But part of growing into a mature believer is learning to apply those truths we believe and loving others well in the midst of that. And you know all the hot topics I'm talking about. How do we love well? Because that's what Jesus did. And he did it exceptionally well to perfection. But you and I can also do that in the world that we live in. We're not going to be perfect, but we can be better at it. We can live well in the midst of those types of differences. Most of you Christian believers, you know the truth and you want to live that out in your daily lives. You know it well. And you should live them out. But here's where the problem comes in the world that you and I live in today. We know how to live it out, but we don't know how to stay in relationship with those that are different than us. That's hard. That's difficult. And sometimes we don't always understand what that might look like from day to day as we encounter life. And so I'm going to give you some tools this morning to think about those things, and next week about our lives. Because we've never learned the skills to grow into an emotionally mature adult. Some of you have figured it out. Some of us have a ways to go yet. And I'll unpack that in just a moment with you this morning. But the Bible has an answer for this problem, and we find it for ourselves in the world that we live in today. Speaks to us very real. You'll understand. And, you know, I struggled with this as a pastor for a while. How do I deal with people that are different than me? And how do I love them well? Because Jesus did it, but how did he do it? Think about the woman at the well. If you and I were to approach a lady that lived with five different men and was married five times, whatever, and then living with another man, and I went to her and I said, you know, you should maybe change your life. What would I maybe expect today? I'd probably get beat over the head, right? But how did Jesus do it that she went back to her village and she said, you just wouldn't believe who I just met? And more likely, she changed her life in the way that she lived. So how does the church do that today? What about the rich man? Right, he came to Jesus and he said, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus said to him, sell everything you got and you give it to the poor. Now that guy didn't come off the handles. He didn't get aggravated at Jesus. He simply went away sad. Why is it that Jesus never really, he stayed in contact, he stayed in relationship with these people throughout their lives when he encountered those situations? And as a pastor, I often wondered, Jesus, how did you do that so well? Have you ever found yourself there? I have, and I'm assuming you have too, as a believer in Christ. How do you stay in a relationship with those that are different than you? Because Jesus, he didn't offend. He didn't push away. He loved them, and he had an authentic conversation with each of those. And there are other examples I could give you this morning in Scripture as well. You know them, and I'm going to share another one with you here just a little bit. Now, remember, when Jesus walked this earth, he had a group of men around him, 12 to be exact, that he discipled to, he witnessed to, he taught them to. But let me say this to you this morning. When it started out, these men, they were emotionally immature. They didn't know how to have good conversations, how to share the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. And let me just point out a few of them to you this morning. So maybe you're sitting there, you're thinking to yourself this morning, well, you know, I got a lot of work to do in this area in my life. But listen to what Jesus called. Peter, he had a problem with his mouth, didn't he? He would pop, you know, if he had to say something today, out of the group, he's the guy that would talk back. He's the guy that had the big mouth, right? We get that, we understand that. James and John, what was their nicknames? The sons of what? Thunder, right? Because everywhere they went, there was a little turmoil around them, and they thought, they even had their mother talk to Jesus, said, can you have these guys sit at the right hand of God? And Jesus said, well, no, that's where I'm going to sit. That's how they lived life when they were first called into the ministry. What about Philip? Right? The feeding of the 5,000. Philip, he was skeptical. There's no way, God, that you're going to, Jesus, I mean, that you're going to feed 5,000 people with these couple of fish and this little bit of bread. See, they were immature, emotionally immature. Matthew was hated because he was a tax collector. I mean, they're all over the emotional scale. Now, they didn't end that way because they grew in their emotional healthiness and their spirituality. They got it. They learned what it looked like to love well. In fact, to the point that they were willing to die for it. But they learned that in their lives. And so let me give you a little bit of a scale. Now, I told you that I've been, I watched these podcasts and Peter Scazzaro, his book on emotionally spiritually healthy people. And here's a little bit of a scale, and you got it on your outline this morning, and I want you to understand this. You can be 90 years old, and you could still be an emotional infant in the world that you and I live in. That can happen. I pray that it's not, but that can happen in the world that we live in today with people. Let me give you just a few pointers for each one. Emotional infants, they look for others to care for them, right? I know some adults that live like that, right? Their mom might still take care of them as a bachelor or whatever it could be in their life. But you know, emotionally, we can also be this way in our spiritual lives. Emotional children, they're content and happy as long as they receive what they want, right? And if it's not what they want or it's not according to their plan, they get all bent out of shape and they throw fits and tantrums. And you know what I'm talking about. You know those kind of people. And we have those kind of people today, even that are spiritually like that. And then we have emotional adolescents. How many of you have teenagers in the house? Right? Right? They're joyful to be around, aren't they? All right, teenagers, I love you dearly. I have a house full of them as well. And there are days they bring great joy, but there's days when they kind of suck the joy out too, right? Yeah, you know what I mean. But those people will grow up to be fine young men and women someday because we all went through that. We were there with you, teenagers. We acted the same way with our parents and so on. But an emotional adolescent, an emotional teenager, they get defensive. They're preoccupied with themselves, right? And you think of the phone that they're on, and you think of that right away. They're judgmental, and so can adults, but they deal with conflict poorly. We can do the same thing in our spiritual lives. In loving others well, we don't do well with those types of things. We fly off the handle. We get bent out of shape. We say things we shouldn't say and so on. And then we get to emotional adults. This is our goal, where you and I should live in our spiritual lives in the way that we love others well. And so let me explain this one to you. I got a little bit more detail on this one than what's on the screen. They are not afraid to ask what they need. They are not afraid to have authentic conversations face-to-face with people that they live with. They don't triangulate. They don't run to their neighbor and say, "Boy, did you hear what so-and-so did?" No, they go right to the person and they have a conversation and they say, "You know, this happened or that happened or whatever it is," and they work it out. Those are emotional adults. They speak openly about their beliefs, and they can stay in a relationship with others, even though they're different than them. They know who they are in Jesus Christ. They're firm in that belief, and they're okay with what others think or with what others do because they see them as a child of God. And I'll explain more to you in a minute about what that looks like in their lives. They can engage others' feelings and conflict without losing themselves, without getting emotionally hijacked in the process. You ever been in a situation where it's heated and things get out of control, and then there's somebody that's there that's just got it all together and not worked up at all? Right? A non-anxious presence, we call that. In the midst of chaos, that's an emotionally mature adult. They can have conversations when things go sideways, and they can make sense out of stuff, and they figure out solutions and answers to whatever the problem is that they're dealing with in their lives. And this also can happen in your spiritual life as well this morning. And so our goal is to become like that, because that's how Jesus lived his life here on earth. He modeled it to us. And so we need to become emotionally mature adults that love well in the midst of whatever's going on in life. Right? There's a lot going on today. So how do we grow into an emotionally mature adult? How do we do that? Right? We learn to love well, and this is the essence of our Christianity. This is what Jesus calls us to. Right? And here's where I think you're going to learn some things this morning. It has to do with the way that we view God, yourself, myself, and others. That's what it has to do with in our lives. Now, I've been preaching to you a long time about the need to be practicing the presence of God in your daily life, routine, whatever that might be. But I'm going to add one to the list this morning. And here it is. You and I need to add another practice to our daily lives, and it's this: to practice the presence of people. Did you hear what I just told you? You've been preached to, you've been talked to your whole life to practice the presence of God, but now I want to also add to practice the presence of people in your daily life. And I'm going to give you some ideas and tools how to do that this morning and what that might look like. Because here's the problem that we deal with today. When we get into those difficult situations, we separate the two. We never keep the two together. The presence of God and the presence of people in our lives. Christians have gotten really good at this. The church has gotten good at this. The world that you and I live in has gotten good at this. The culture has told you, if that's the case, separate things, right? Divide. That's not the teaching of the Word of God. So very rarely do people put the two together. But here's the point. Jesus did it every time. That's how he could get along with the woman at the well. He practiced the presence of God and the presence of people at the same time in the way that he lived life. And he had the ability to listen, to genuinely love people for wherever they were, because he practiced both. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. I have it on the screen. You guys know this commandment well. You understand it, right? What is our first commandment? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And then he says to do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm talking to you this morning about how do you love your neighbor like yourself? How do you love them well in the world that we live in today? You know, when Jesus was on earth, some of the reason he ran into conflict was because so many people wanted him to separate the two, right? The religious leaders, they seen the way he ministered to people. Who did he hang out with? Sinners, drunkards, glutton, all those types of things. The religious leaders said, why are you even there, Jesus? Because Jesus kept the two together. The presence of God and the presence of people. And he didn't care if they sinned or wherever they lived. He loved them genuinely and he stayed in relationship. That's how he changed their hearts. That's how he brought them into his belief, by those types of conversations. Matthew 11, verse 19, we read that a little bit earlier. You know how they view Jesus, right? Jesus spoke these words. This is what they think of me. They think that he's a glutton and he's a drunkard. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But then Jesus says, but wisdom is proved right by her deeds. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the work of Jesus also in our lives. The way that we live and we love well is so important to the way we live our faith today. It all comes together. And so, remember those stories in Scripture. They never linked loving God with the need to be growing in their commitment to love people well. Most of us separate the two, right? Here is where I'm going to teach you some skills on the way to live with the presence of people in your lives. Now, we understand that we have God and we have people. So I want to share with you how to put the two together. I'm going to give you some explanation on how this made sense to me as I went through this. And it taught me so much about how Jesus lived his life. In 1923, there was a Jewish theologian. And of course, people have had this, figured out long before that. But he wrote a book. He was a Jewish theologian. It was called The I and the Thou. That's what it was entitled. And maybe you want to, I don't have it, but I think it's worth a read. But here's what he started to explain about spiritually mature relationships, how to love people well. And this is what he came to a conclusion. He wrote that the most healthy and mature relationship between two human beings is the I and the thou relationship. And what it means is that you and I, we recognize that we've been created in the image of God, and so has everyone else. Everyone. Even those that are different than you. Even those that are non-believers. Even those that you don't think that live according to the truth of Scripture are made in the image of God. And when you understand that everyone's made in the image of God, what he says to you and I is that he now says that they've become a thou to you. I, me, Rob Horseman, and those I encounter every day in my life are now thous, made in the image of God. You know what the problem is today? We live, most of us, look in the purple box. We live in the I-it relationship. Now let me explain the I-it relationship to you. As soon as you encounter somebody that's different than you, as soon as you encounter resistance of some kind that you don't like or you don't know how to deal with, you make them an it. They're no longer made in the image of God. You see them as a hindrance, as maybe the enemy, or whatever it might be in your life. Our world has lost the ability to to see people made in the image of God. It's happening in our nation. It's happening in our culture. It's the world that you and I are living in today. Because we live in the I-it relationship. Have you ever been treated like an it before? How does it feel? Not very good, does it? What if you were to live in the I-thou relationship with everyone that you encountered in your life? What difference would that make in the world that we live in today? When we treat people like its, you and I have turned inwardly. We've left our faith, right? Because that's not how Jesus taught us to live. That's not how Jesus taught us to treat people or to look at people, whatever that may be. Because what did Jesus teach you in Matthew 22? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what that means. I, thou, relationships. Now, is that hard to do? It's very hard. It's a struggle. It's a fight every day of your faith journey. There's some days you're going to lose it. You're going to practice the I, it. But I'm hoping that you can find a place where you can practice more of the I, thous with those around you in your life. How many of you ever, you guys have heard of C.S. Lewis before, right? Right, he's a great Christian writer, a great Christian author. He wrote the book, The Great Divorce. And this is what he said about, he had a statement, I'll just read to you. Hell is described as a place where each person lives in isolation, millions of miles apart from one another, because they can't get along. Doesn't that sound like our nation today? Hell here on earth? It does, doesn't it? So here's my thought for you today. What do you think's going to be the change agent to make this reverse, to make this go the other way? I mean, there's a lot of crazy ideas out there, right? I mean, some of you said, well, we're going to civil war, right? Yeah, we got guns full, we got closets full of guns, and we're buying ammunition. All this kind of stuff going on. And here's what I want to say. I have guns too, and that's totally fine. But you know what? I think the change agent's going to come from the church. It's the only way it's going to work. It's not going to come from society. It's not going to come from culture. And it's not going to come from living the I-it relationship. Because that's where we're heading. It's going to come from the I-thou relationship from the church to love people well. That's going to be difficult. But guess what? You've got God on your side. And I have no doubt that he can do great things. Miracles will happen. I think the church, and I've said this to you often, needs a wake-up call. Because the church in America doesn't cut it anymore. What's it done for us, right? People, they've been hurt by it. They don't get it. They need to hear the word of Jesus Christ. And it has power, but you have to stay connected. You got to be in the word. You got to be praying. You got to watch for what the Spirit's doing. You got to live in the I-thou relationship. You got to learn to love others well. You got to speak the truth in Scripture as well. You'll learn more about that next week, what that will look like to speak truth in the middle of those relationships. Here's the most important example that I can give you in Scripture this morning. And I don't know if I have it in your outline, but you're going to want to write it down. Because Jesus never treated people like its. When Jesus hung on the cross, and you can look this up in Luke, here's your verse, 23, verse 34. This is what he said. And you'll recognize it soon as I say it to you. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I think we find ourselves today that we do not know what we are doing. But Jesus says, I forgive you. He spoke that to the Jews. He spoke that to the Roman guards. He spoke that to the Gentiles, those that were there. He spoke those words. Because Jesus knew the I-thou relationship. Because he's seen the Roman soldiers. He's seen the Jewish leaders who hated him and put him on the cross. Because he's seen them as children of God. Lost in sin. But he's seen them as children of God that needed salvation in their lives. That's where we learn today. Next week, we're going to dig into the message even deeper, a little further, about the relationship of emotional maturity and conflict. What do you do with that piece as it relates to this? The I-thou relationship and what Jesus calls us to. Because when Jesus says you're to be peacemakers in Matthew 5 verse 9, what does that mean? And you know what? Most of us misinterpret that verse. It's going to have you're going to probably come here this next week and you're going to see that verse and we're going to pick that verse apart. And it might just set some of you back in your pew just a little bit. When he says you're the peacemakers. What does that look like? In the world. And I remember I said that I gird this with the truth of Scripture underneath it. And that's planted right in the middle of that verse. But how do you love well? Right? So I gave you the first part of that this morning. So here's my homework for you. When you leave here today, I want you to see people created in the image of God. And I want you to practice the I-thou relationship when you see others. In those difficult situations, wherever you be. And then I want you to also remember, you learn the presence of being in the Lord, but be also in the presence of people and put the two together in your daily life. Right? And all of God's people said, amen. Let us pray.